Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Do you know why many times we pray and fast and cast out devils and we seem to be shouting more than the devils? It's because we don't know something. There's a knowledge gap. The reason why I can cast out the devil, and I'm saying to the devil, I give you 3 minutes to do your thing, then go. I recognize your presence, so I give you 3 minutes. It's because I know that Zoe, the eternal life of God, bestows a kind of dominion. A kind of authority. It is after the order of that life. That life, that kind of life, commands authority. Come on, are you here now? So it has to sink. Please do not assume, because now, is there anybody, most people here have heard about eternal life before. You've heard about this thing I'm preaching before. Why are we not working in it? It's because the weightier things of the spirit are easy to gloss over. You've heard it. You have eternal life. Why are we not manifesting it? If you put half of the 6-hour prayer you do overnight, destroying all the evil in your family and everything, if you put it into developing the life force in you, do it for 5 years. I was so lucky that some people told me about eternal life when I became a Christian. I was so lucky, but looking back now, they didn't have all the information, but they gave me what they knew. Even if you pick up the Sunday school manual in Redeem or some of the WFB courses at Winners, or the thing is there. But for some reason, we are interested in other things. We are more triggered. Unfortunately, that life is that potent. Unfortunately. I wish it would just be something like a fad. Something we just try to excite ourselves about. But the reason why some of you have had dreams and you saw yourself in that dreams as being extremely powerful and you woke up and you are weak is because of the life. Your spirit is not weak. The reason why your spirit is not able to manifest that strength is because of your soul. And that's why the bridge, one of the most powerful bridges to cut through the spirit into your body is to disciple the soul through the renewing of the mind. Now, when I said to some of you guys a few weeks ago, I said you should go get a Bible. It's because I realize certain things you will never see if you are distracted. You take your eyes off the book for 1 minute and you may just be dislodged. In John chapter 3, I want to read, I believe it should be from verse 36. John 3:36. And I want you to see the utterance of John. Look at what he says. He said, "He that believeth on the Son has what? Everlasting life. And he that believeth not on the Son shall not what? Shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth." Ah! Listen, anything that is operational or that is operating outside the life of God has a curse on it, including the human life. Please pay attention. In the human life is sweat, because that was the result of Adam's sin. In eternal life is favor, which means everything about your life is not your sweat. Everything about your life cannot be your sweat. You cannot come here and say, "I know how hard I have worked." You are under law, not grace. If you know why every testimony happened and why it happened, you are under the law. If there is no divine element, like, from here, I think it was just God. I can't explain what happened. Then, yes, you are in grace. Is God against hard work? No. Is God against sweat? Yes. Hard work is different from sweat. Because you may be sweating in the wrong direction. But everybody sweats, so we think it's normal. But that's after the order of the human life. The supernatural life, the divine life, makes room for divine provisions. And you have to believe it. The eternal life begins to work when you begin to believe. When you what? Begin to believe. Life is administered. What shall we do that we may do the works of God? And Jesus said, believe. Believe in the Son. Believe in Him. That is the work of God. Everything and every response and every counter response in the Christian faith must rest on faith. Do you believe that God is able to save you to the utmost? Or do you believe because as a Yoruba man, you are taught to believe? The Yoruba man struggles with faith because of his culture. The Yoruba man, they think they have faith. They struggle. They can't tell the difference between faith and being positive, being positively minded. It's not faith because you agree in your head. It's faith because you believe in your heart. Because there are a lot of people who agree that God is great, but they are still serving Satan. With passion. There are people who come to church and ask, why are we giving offering? Why are we giving tithe? But without the oracle asking them, when they go before Ugugu, they go with a cow. Then go and ask how much a cow is. They even go with a bag of dollars. Will Ugugu spend dollars? Because they know that the supernatural realm works by sacrifice. Not because the spirit realm needs it, but because that is the language the earth realm understands. That if you offer anything that does not cost you something, God will not take it, Satan will not touch it. That's why they will not ask for your goat, they will ask for your mother. They will ask for the person you love the most. Because the moment you come to Satan, the first thing he wants to do is sow a seed of wickedness and hatred in your life. That going forward, there is nothing they will ask from you, you will not be able to give. Because they have taken the most prized thing in your life. The same thing, you come to God and God says, already a sacrifice has been made for you. See the value. Embrace it. You go to Satan, there's something. You go to God, you also be presented with something. Why do you find it so hard to believe that the price has been paid? You could not even pay it. Why do you find it so hard to believe you are forgiven? It was not your blood that was shed. Jesus died and he rose again to administer the flow of his own blood as high priest. The reason why your sins are forgiven is because Jesus says so. Not because you told yourself, I have asked for forgiveness. He that hath the Son hath everlasting life. I have the life of God in me. And it's flowing from my spirit into my soul. And into my body. Therefore, I have life in my body. And I am able to also be a life-giving spirit. I'm able to dispense life. Because I have it. In Jesus' name. 1 John 5:12. He that had the Son had life. He didn't get it in a measure. He was given the fullness. The same kind of life that the pattern son Jesus Christ lived in and walked in. Which means if we want to understand the nature of that life, we must study the person of Jesus. Hallelujah. He who has the Son hath eternal life. I have the Son, so I have eternal life. He who has the Son has eternal life. I have the Son, have eternal. He who has the Son has eternal life. I have the Son, I have eternal. He who has the Son has eternal life. I have the Son, so I have eternal. As the Son, as eternal, I have the Son.
I have the Son,
so I have eternal. He who was the Son,
as the Son,
as eternal, I have the Son. Eternal life is the God quality of life, the administration of God's throne, the highest quality of life that exists. It is what makes us sons. It is what makes us sons. Say, for if the spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that spirit will also give life to your mortal bodies. Not when Jesus comes right now. He will give life. That I can grow in the development of that life, and that life will become my primary life. Able to heal my body just with a touch, to set people free. Make me indestructible in the midst of near-death accident and experiences, very painful experience. You just come out without a scratch. Oh, that is the way. You become almost immune to anything that is called death. Death dies around you. Ah. Jesus said, for no man can take my life. Even if you go into the seventh heavens of the seventh heavens of the terrestrial kingdoms of Lucifer himself, and you decide that Tina will die. Because I have eternal life, I cannot die. I don't know how to die. Jesus said, I lay my life down, and I pick it up as though he did it by decision, by will. What manner of life is this? A life not bound by the limitations of the flesh. This is the life that Jesus died for us to have. Thank God for Pastor Paul, who brought us this light, and Apostle John, who wrote these things down. I was listening to a man who got grace, he went to heaven, and he said he spoke to Paul, and said he asked Paul, Jerry Savelle, said he asked Paul, he said, what is your greatest surprise? Or what was your greatest surprise when you got to heaven? Paul said, I was shocked when I realized God used my letters as scripture. That the things I was writing, God approved it and said, make it scripture. That my thoughts, the thoughts of my heart became scripture. That it shocked him. He didn't think God could consider him so much. But you see, those letters were filled with life. Have you ever been in a place, in a room like this, or in a room with somebody, and it seemed that as you both fellowship, there was a different sense of God's presence and anointing, and when you stepped out, that same atmosphere was in there. But in the room, it is there. You just have a fellowship with one another, and you didn't want to go. You didn't know time stopped counting. It seemed that you were there for just 5 minutes, but it was actually 3 hours. And you're like, I need to start going home. But there seemed to be a strong atmosphere of fellowship and the presence of God. It is because of the life. The life in you has found an environment that is compatible for it to manifest itself. That is what fellowship gives to you. The subject of life, this eternal life, takes away the fear of mortality, the fear of death, the fear that most men have about death. When you leave this world, you don't leave shaking and crying, Lord, don't let me die. You live with a shout. You live because you know you have seen the company of just men made perfect. You are not thinking, is there heaven or hell? We have gone past that one. Right now, your eyes have opened. You will see where you are going before you leave here. There's no queue. Like, line up. Let's see if your name is there. There's no queue. You will see. You will know. It's not like, if I die now, I need to be sure. If you are not sure before you die. If you are still thinking, which sin do I need to confess? And you have 3 minutes to go. See, just to be sure. Just to be sure. My brother. I don't know. I'm not sure. Well, we live in God's hands. Because the path of the just is as a shining light. That means this year is walking in one realm of life. Next year is walking in. The life is not a stagnant life. God wants you to progress in the advancement of that economy. It's a different kind. It's a different kind. You are never meant to be on the same spot twice. Never. Because when Jesus was a child, they needed to take him like a baby out to Egypt. But when he grew up, he stood in the midst of men who wanted to throw him off a cliff. And he walked right out of their midst, and they didn't know. That life is never stagnant. You may be on this level today, and that anointing that you generate when you pray in tongues, you generate it and it's not up in your spirit. But next year, by the thought of your mind, you can take that life, push it into your soul. Your mind is filled with very lustful thoughts. You are filled with very murderous thoughts. With very dangerous thoughts of anger. Fits of anger. Then you go into your spirit. And take out of your life. And punch it in. And empty. That life is the answer. Most times we are trying to get things done from the outside. It's on your inside. It's on your inside. Try it. Don't succumb yourself to all those Hare Krishna things. They tell you, breathing exercises, breathing. take a deep breath. You are now officially a new age member. I'm not talking about taking deep breaths. I'm talking about this. There's something more powerful. If you know that that what you think you have, you actually have it. How will you behave? If they said nobody should come into these premises, and DSS sealed off the place, and you are the president, would you need a pass? What you know can greatly determine how that life manifests. It's not head knowledge, but spirit knowledge, heart knowledge. And that's why Jesus described that life by knowledge in John chapter 17, verse 3. And he said, this is life. Give me John 17, chapter 17, I think 1 to 3. John chapter 17. Hallelujah, God most high, you Jesus Christ, you are Hallelujah Israel, Hallelujah, God most high, Jesus. Jesus Christ,
you are Hallelujah,
Hallelujah, Israel.
Hallelujah, Israel.
Say Hallelujah, Israel.
Hallelujah,
you are Hallelujah, Israel.
Hallelujah, Israel.
Hallelujah, Israel.
Hallelujah, Israel.
Hallelujah, Israel.
Israel.
The word spoke Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. As you have given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given to him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So eternal life grows and develops at the revelation of Jesus. The more of the revelation of Christ that is bestowed upon your heart, that you are seeing, that the Lord is giving you entrance into, the more about Christ that you are being given the grace to behold and to become, the more of life is being granted you, that you are able to manifest and begin to function in that reality, not by knowledge, but by revelation. Not just by knowledge, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is the reason why many have struggled with this subject, because they learned this subject without the matter of revelation. And believe me, it doesn't matter how many years Jesus has lived in your house or that you have been with him. If he has not been revealed to you, you will doubt. One of the strongest elements of a man that is far from Christ, it's his capacity for doubt. And it doesn't have anything to do with sitting in front. Because when Jesus rose again, Thomas did not believe. Thomas was one of the disciples that cast out devils. Huh? He cast out devils. Out in the name of Jesus. And the demons went. Receive your sight. And they got healed. But when he heard that life, immortality has been granted, he said, no. I understand the miracles. I understand. And we saw where he was buried. That stone, nobody can move it. We also saw the soldiers that stood there. You said he rose up. How? How? I'm not saying you're lying, but how? And because even Peter was struggling with his faith, even though his name means rock, but he was also struggling, he could not defend that theology. And then Jesus revealed himself to Thomas. Jesus showed up in the meeting and said, Thomas, let us start with you. Because this is a company of just men, a company of faith men. It is cancerous to allow a man in our circle who doesn't believe as we believe. who questions the reality of this realm. Do you understand that it is this life that guarantees and gives you the ticket and passport to experience heaven on earth? If you didn't have that life, angels won't respect you. And Jesus said, come, touch my hands. Put your hands within those holes. And he broke down. You see, don't blame Thomas. Thomas is a Jew of Jews. He's a typical Jewish man. A Jewish man is very sensitive when it has anything that has to do with Christ. Because they believe that there is a Messiah they are expecting. So it's not easy for him. Don't blame him. And in fact, all the apostles struggled, just that they were struggling at different levels. They were struggling. That's why God needed to bring a man like Paul to explain this thing. Say, touch my hands. Watch the proclamation. Pay attention to the proclamation of Thomas. The moment he inserted his hand and he came out on the other side. My Lord. My God. That is sacrilege for a Jewish man to look into the eyes of another man and call him God. But he knew. All of a sudden everything made sense. That the scripture had written that he would ride upon a donkey and ride into Jerusalem. That the scripture had written in Isaiah that he would be wounded for our sins and bruised for our iniquities. And by his stripes will be made. All of a sudden it started making sense. That his name was Jesus. Savior. Deliverer. You are the Christ of God. When Peter first made that declaration, when Jesus asked, who do men say I am? Thomas was there. He heard it, but he didn't understand. He didn't believe. But now, he put his hand in there and he broke down. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes have seen thee. Thomas broke down. And then Jesus made a statement. Say, blessed. It seems that is the most favorite word Jesus likes to use. Say, blessed. Say, blessed are those who, having not seen, yet they believe. That eternal life can be locked in your spirit. And you must grow in it to a point where you do not need anything around you to stimulate that life. Because you have grown in the development on that life, and that life only hangs on one thing, the revelation of Christ. That should be your regular prayer. Holy Spirit, teach me about Jesus. Show me who Jesus is. I want to know it in my flesh. Job said, I will see him. With my very eyes, I will see him. And not the eyes of another. Job said, my eyes will see him. He was in his pain. He was sick. And yet he declared prophetically that his eyes will behold the king. But yet he spoke about a time that was to come. When humanity would now behold Christ. And later, as Jesus was living in the later part of the book of John, Jesus said, for I am being taken away, and the world shall not see me, but you shall see me, because I'm going to the Father. You shall see me. Jesus said, I'm being taken away. The world will not see me, but you shall continue to see me. I am being taken away. The world will not see me, but you shall continue to see me. Which means every time I engage with God in the place of prayer, I am entitled to a revelation of Christ. I am not supposed to see Christ as someone that is far off. I am supposed to be experiencing Christ. I am supposed to be taught by Christ. I'm supposed to see the way of Christ. I am supposed to become Christ. This growth and development is what makes you stronger than your enemies. Yes. when you can look into the mysteries of the word of God, and you can look at the things that the Lord teaches you about himself, even from nature, and you can say, oh God, my God, you are having an experience that anybody that is not working at that level will not understand. When you go on your status and you say, he that hath the Son hath life. They don't know what you have. They don't know this. That statement is coming from a point of divine ecstasy, revelation, that all of a sudden the life is not even a separate element from the Son. What that means is that when I have the Son, then Jesus becomes bonded with my spirit. And I now have access to his wisdom. I have access to his power. I have access to his knowledge. I have access to divine encounters. He that had the Son now has the life of God, which means I am able to transact at that level because I am a legitimate citizen of that kingdom. Not that I am a visitor. I am not just asking for a divine visitation. I am asking for a divine habitation where God now lives in me, where I become the living temple, that while I will no longer have to be in a place and people will begin to pray, come Holy Spirit. He doesn't need to come. I'm here because he lives in me. So anywhere you are, people should not say, let's welcome the prayer. No, he's here. Because where two or three of you are gathered, he will not send an angel. He will come. He will come. He will come. He has blessed us with his presence. He has blessed us with his life. And he wants us to know that he is as he is in this world. So are we. That when they see you in the heavens, they see Christ. You are a protege. You are born of God. Your natural life is a lower form of life compared to what God has now given you. Which means the best way to rise above sin is not to struggle with it. It's to live above it. Because the natural life struggles. The spiritual life rests. Say, those that have believed have entered into his rest. You don't overcome by trying to stop. You overcome by resting, knowing that the works have been finished before the foundations of the world. I have life. This is a knowledge of the civilization that will come from that must rest in our spirit. That no man on earth has the power to take your life from you except the one who gave it. It must rest in your spirit. It must rest in your spirit like a revelation. How do I develop in the economy of this life? Because even though that we have been given this life, we function in it at different levels.